make sure you're in fellowship as we continue on here under Roman numeral 6, investigating the process and stages of reversionism, recognizing there are obviously many different factors that can bring about reversionism, cause reversionism if they're not dealt with appropriately, such as lack of doctrine, failure to rebound, and reacting to testings and things of one's niche otherwise in adverse circumstances that would get our STA up in an uproar and try to lead us down the primrose path of compromising doctrine for its behalf. So that's the time to obviously, when you recognize these things in front of you, deal with them with rebound. Obviously, prayer is important in a time like this, and keep these things before God and not let them to ultimately take control over your life in this respect. So B, now if these factors dig in, page 8 of our notes, and are not dealt with, the next step with reversionists is the frantic search for happiness. It deserves a category for itself, as it is a category that is widespread and correctly defines truly what most believers will do in their compromise of doctrine, seeking to find relief under the energy of the flesh. So one, upon reacting or reaction to one's situation or situations, as it may be, a common STA alternative is for one to seek relief through some source other than doctrine, other than waiting upon God, which obviously, and being patient, failure to faith rest, which these things in and of themselves then promote this frantic search for happiness. So two, they abandon their position of humility and waiting on God and begin to pursue things in order to bring happiness to themselves. 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7. To be patient, to wait upon God, to recognize He has a perfect plan for your life. It is never outside of His control. Even in our own failures and weaknesses, He perfectly anticipated these things. In eternity past, nothing catches Him unprepared. And the issue is to maintain and stay the course under true humility in fellowship with God, pursuing doctrine, and let God raise you up at the proper time to exalt you. Verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Looking at the fact that God is omnipotent. He's all-powerful. To make things happen is not impossible to God. See, these things that do not tax God, being omnipotent, it's the same God that is going to, who created our universe, who's going to dissolve our present universe. He has a new creation in store for us. He's going to provide us with resurrection bodies, these supernatural bodies, by His own hands. And what? He can't help you out of some little deal in life? You know? Don't limit God. Just be humble. That means stay the course. Keep your STA under control. Don't get under the arrogance of the STA thinking you know better. And do so under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you at the proper time. And obviously, the application in that regards is to battle impetuous activity, to be impatient, is casting all your anxiety upon Him because He cares for you. Your concerns, your fears, your worries. Again, God knows about these things. He knows what test you're under. That He will provide, see. And to embrace that and recognize that. And again, that's where prayer obviously is essential for one to continue to battle, do battle against their STA, seeking to upset you otherwise. So three, these further, so they two, they abandon their position of humility and waiting on God in this next step to frantic search for happiness, and begin to pursue things in order to bring happiness to themselves. I'll make it happen, see. Three, they further rationalize their reactions with different ideas. You know, to compromise doctrine demands rationalization of doctrine. And for one to go in and make a decision, I'm going to do this, and what they do is they rationalize otherwise. And that rationalization could come in many forms. To it doesn't make any difference anymore to, you know, well, it doesn't apply to me. Rationalization such as indifference or don't care syndrome. To become, if you will, calloused in regards to things. And you don't care what God does to you. And sometimes your STA will take you there too. I don't care what the consequences are. See. And you go for it. So you got to be careful in regards to that. Sometimes it demands what I call heavy-duty prayers that God intercede to help relight your zeal, to bring you back under the confines of true humility. If there's one prayer I've ever prayed in my life that God doesn't take any time to respond in, is asking Him to humble me. There's been times I've turned around, walked off, and it happened immediately. Like you trip and fall and bam and hit your head against a counter or something like that. Not that that particular thing happened, but other things similar. You can wait till phase three to hear about it. Another attitude, another rationalization is you deserve a break today. I deserve more in life than this. See. I'm faithful. Don't think that, you know, the Old Testament patriarchs and New Testament believers all didn't face these same battles. They did. They had to battle their own STAs, see. To say, look how much I've sacrificed. Look what staying on doctrines cost me. And making application of doctrines cost me. Now, come on, God, where's the blessing? Well, if you're in fellowship, it's being put in the vault. You may not see it at the moment, but it's like one day you haven't visited your checking account for some time, and you open up, and all of a sudden, where did this $50 million come from? Yeah, you won't be complaining then, will you? The only time you'll be complaining, go, what, a quarter? What happened there? See, is all this sacrifice and pressure worth it? Obviously, these things go hand in hand. To confine myself geographically to this neck of the woods. I could be living down in Miami where it's 80 degrees today. Yeah, I'm about 3 months. Wait for that hurricane to come through, and you're going, crap, I could be in Ohio where it's 75 today. D, if God were for me, things would be better. That's a destructive nature. Not everybody's trends think the same way. Now, obviously, I pull from my own thoughts sometimes in these things. And it's kind of a struggle of self-abasement sometimes. You feel like you just got to humble yourself to make sure, you know, why would God test me like this? Well, He's got His reasons, I can tell you that much. If you hang in there, you'll probably figure it out. Hey, why can't I ever get what I want? Be careful, you may get more than you want. Choke on that quail. See, the Exodus. If what I am pursuing isn't sinful and therefore legitimate. Legitimate things in life, not sinful in and of themselves. The fact that you're compromising doctrine, you're operating on the energy of flesh, makes it sinful. See. And the doctrine gives you discernment. You learn about these things. Gee, what I'm doing isn't rewarding me the way I think it ought to. H, fighting the fight is too hard, so I'm too tired for Bible class. Oh, poor me. I'm exhausted. No, exhausted is being out in the bush for 2 weeks and sleeping in the jungle and wondering if Charlie's going to hit you. That's exhausted. You go, did I ever sleep? Well, I know I closed my eyes. But anyway, you know, there's always, you can always find somewhere, you know, another example that makes really what we go through in our lives petty. That's all I'm trying to say. I have everything I need physically in life, so I'm going to go out and enjoy it. And that's can't handle any prosperity test. Why God withholds sometimes big money for some people, because they will just become idiots if they get it. Just because you have may have the resources, that doesn't mean that you don't have to pray about things. See, and to wait upon God still in your life to handle it wisely, according to God's divine design. J, conflict with other believers and rationalization in that regard. Now you see that go on sometimes. See, everybody has an SCA. We all stumble many ways, James says. May offend another believer. And then that becomes the excuse of why, you know, you let your guard down. You quit coming to Bible class. Can't believe the pastor said damn from the pulpit. What the hell? Okay, yeah, that one gets old, doesn't it? It's too damn cold in Cleveland to serve God. Oh, that word. L, failure to separate. Failure to separate. We have a very stark warning for those who want to reject this doctrine and continue to embrace negative volition as their buddies in life, as their social companions. You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. And because of one's niche, relationships, things of this nature, one violates separation. And the principle is, you're not going to end up making them any better. They're just going to compromise, help you compromise your doctrine further in life. You say, Ken, where did you get that from? It's in the Bible. Find it yourself. See, God intervenes on the believer's behalf under the principle of divine discipline. All right, so you're in a situation, the SCA is getting the better of you. See, and you're weak in certain areas. Well, God sees that, and He intervenes. He intervenes with divine discipline, just like an unruly child, and won't behave themselves in certain areas, and the parent comes in and gives them a whooping or another appropriate form of discipline. And so God interacts in regards to His children. And you have that as a warning, if you will, to help you corral your SCA. The SCA, in many cases, if not in most, doesn't understand anything but pain in regards to pulling its horns in a certain area of their lot, of its predilections, its tendencies. Then some SCAs feed off pain. Just weird. SCA is just weird. See, you had the frantic search for happiness, the fish, which goes along with chips. That's my joke, fish and chips. If you're not from Britain, you wouldn't understand that. That chips is common human problems. Everybody has their own common human problems. So you have your problems. Engage frantic search for happiness, and it manifests a move to arrogance under the SCA and brings divine discipline into the life. And again, as we continue here in James 4, for those who want to rationalize the doctrine of separation, recognizing the jealous nature of God in regards to that which He desires, Or do you not think that the Scripture, verse 5, speaks to no purpose? He, God the Father, jealously desires the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, which He has made to dwell in us. Nothing will ever compromise that fellowship. Nothing will ever compromise that union. And God the Holy Spirit indwells each and every one of us as believers. And God wants that situation to function appropriately, where fellowship is in its entirety in regards to God. And then verse 6, but He gives a greater grace. Therefore it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. To be in opposition to God means look out. Anger and wrath will follow. Submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Over time, you will be successful. And then Hebrews, compare Hebrews 12, 5 through 13. In regards to the principle of divine discipline, verse 4, in regards to, again, the early Jewish Christians, Hebrew Christians in Jerusalem, in regards to one fighting the fight, how hard have you really tried to abstain from the STA? And he uses Jesus Christ as an example in regards to maximum effort to ensure maintenance of absolute righteousness in his life. You have not resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin, verse 7. Not before Christ's crucifixion, the pressure was upon him to such a degree that his blood pressure was high. And there is a phenomenon where one literally can eke out blood in regards to skin just from the very pressure that one might be under. And that just shows you, gives you an idea, a taste in regards to the pressure that was on his person, our Messiah, in regards to fulfilling God's plan in his life. And so he uses this as an example. You know, we all, well, I've been battling it. Oh, really? Hey, I got an STA, I know. I know how hard we battle it. Am I being facetious? In a certain way, yes. We obviously can always battle harder, is the idea. And then he goes on, and you have you completely forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons, brought out in the Old Testament in Proverbs. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines and he scourges every son whom he receives. And part of the problem, the FCA problem that the Jews were getting under, the Hebrew Christians were getting under in this regard, was they were taking the persecutions that were coming upon them, and they were simply claiming them all as testing and undeserved suffering, when a lot of it was coming about deserved, because they weren't dealing with their own FCAs and handling the conflicts, the persecutions, and things of this nature. And they were not being intellectually honest, recognizing God truly intervening in their own lives for their own malfunctions. It is for discipline, verse 7, that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? At least in a normal household. See. But if you are without discipline, of which you all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. You're like bastard children. Do not have a true parental role model in regards to their lives. See. Parents that treat them like stepchildren. Not as a person who truly loves their family. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us and respected them. Shall we not rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? Of course, respect them looks at generally looking back after the fact, after the discipline. And you recognize, oh, yeah, I'm sure glad they boxed my jaws for doing that, so I didn't go out and do that again and become even more stupid, you know, things of that nature. For they discipline us for a short time, it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. Divine discipline is to benefit us in regards to maintaining fellowship and keeping our SEL overruled in a maximum way. And building up our SG3 account. To share His holiness is to pursue His righteousness. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Sorrowful, yeah. These things are not fun. But they have a purpose. And the purpose is beneficial to us if we respond to it appropriately. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields a peaceful fruit of righteousness. Therefore, strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble. Looking at discipline often comes in the body. And make straight paths for your feet, so the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint. But that's further discipline, because you won't pull your horns in with the first warning. See? But rather be healed. Pursue peace with all men. And the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no rude bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled. That there are no immoral, sexual immorality, or godless person like Esau, who sold his own birthright for a single meal. You can equate to that by saying, well, you know, I had the prize in my hand, but I traded it for $1 million in time. For you know that even afterwards, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, for a change of mind, though he sought for it with tears. Yeah, he is remorseful after the fact that he made a bad decision. And that is due to his own negative volition, obviously. So, you have divine discipline. God intervenes with the divine discipline. Two, the believer begins to suffer various reversals in his personal life, such as family life and business ventures. We won't read Genesis 29 and 30, the entire chapters, but the pattern of Jacob, his associations, his uncle Laban, how he dealt with Jacob, and he shortchanged him. Jacob, eyes was on the physical, the beauty, Rachel, rather than truly what his soulmate should have been, who was Leah. And God jammed him on that one after working 7 years for this woman. Golly. Wake up one morning and there you are. 7 years. And you wake up. Hey, crazy eye, where'd you come from? Don't tell your sister. But anyway, my sense of humor. Then Rachel and Leah and their contest for kids and God and all this, you know, and people reacting to these things. So, Jacob was positive. Leah was positive. Rachel was positive to a certain degree, but by all appearances, she ultimately died sin unto death because she wouldn't pull her horns in. Three, the first stages of divine discipline are called warning discipline, which will continue to intensify if the believer does not begin to move toward recovery. That's the verses there in Hebrews 12 that talked about putting your limb out of joint. Further discipline, further pain. Verses 12 and 13. For the intensification of divine discipline continues for the believer who does not reject the SCA path they are on. Move back to the doctrinal approach to life, ultimately ending with the sin and the death. And that is not the way you want to exit this world. Sin and the death does not glorify God. It's exactly what it sounds like. You lead this life under the rulership of your sin nature that has been ruling you. Revelation 2:21-22. In regards to the church at Thyatira, Christ says, I gave her time to repent, change her mind. And she does not want to repent of her immorality. Spiritual immorality. Obviously, with it comes other types of immoral behavior. Behold, I will cast her upon a bed of sickness, and those who commit adultery with her who want to become entwined in regards to her spiritual adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of her works. And that reflects upon Roman Catholicism, those who are involved in that. That can be applied across the board. The bed of sickness looks at the ultimate sin unto death. I confer Leviticus 26:14-39. Let's go to 1 John 5:16. That explicitly states the concept of sin unto death. If anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, and it's a sin that God's intervened, he may receive severe discipline and may be costing him his life. You can shoot up prayers if he continues to remain positive, hasn't finished his course, and all the things that other doctrine you have to place into the deal. The promise is he shall ask and God before him give life to those who commit sin not leading to death, to fulfill God's plan for their life in spite of maybe some gross failure beforehand that would otherwise demand sin unto death. So you can pray for these, that God would deliver them from the death. Obviously sufficient for them to finish their course. However, there is a sin leading to death. I do not say that he should make a request for this. Those who are reversionists, exiting this world, whatever prayer you may legitimately shoot up, one is not for God to extend life for them. And God has it under control in perfect timing. They're not going to do anything with doctrine. Let him take them home. 5, the sin of death occurs when God kills the offending believer because they will not recover. Otherwise, time's up. Otherwise, time's up. Again, Revelation 2 there, 23, in regards to Thyatira, in verse 23 there. And I will kill her children with pestilence, and all the churches will know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts and will give to each one of you according to your works. The children recognizes the perpetuation of their reversionism. Compare Genesis 35:16-20. Here in regards to Rachel and Jacob. Then they journeyed from Bethel, and when there was still some distance go to Ephrath, Rachel began to give birth, and she suffered severe labor. It came about when she was in severe labor that the midwife said to her, "Do not fear, for now you have another son." It came about as her soul was departing, for she died. She named him Benoni, but his father called him Benjamin. So Rachel died and was buried on the way to Ephrath, that is Bethlehem. So Rachel died at childbirth, giving birth, and she was taken out, sin and death. Her life was over in that regard. First Chronicles 10. Regards to King Saul, he was positive at one point, and he went into reversionism, and he did not make recovery. So Paul died for his trespass, sin unto death, which he committed against the Lord because of the word of the Lord, which he did not keep, and also because he asked counsel of a medium, make an inquiry of it. One of the more egregious forms of sin he engaged in. Was appealing to the cult. witchcraft to try to find out the future. See. And did not acquire the Lord. Therefore, he killed him and turned the kingdom to David, the son of Jesse. Reflects upon looking to Satan for counsel and advice rather than the truth of Bible doctrine and God by doing something like that. People that are engaged in occult activity, seances, things of that nature, stay away. That's all I can say to you. If you're not applying separation in your life anywhere else, you better be applying it there. Or else you'll end up being involved and paying the price of their own malfeasance and discipline coming upon them. You don't want to be a part of that. D, there is continued intensification of the process with divine discipline. God gives you warning. Are you going to heed the warning, or are you going to continue to react in a negative fashion? One, if the believer does not heed the warning signs and divine discipline and deal with their problem, this pattern repeats and intensifies. Two, further sinning under the SCA brings further discipline. Three, this can further irritate and provoke the believer under the SCA, hence intensifying their reactions. The way the SCA doesn't like the pain, but a lot of times it still won't cower, it still won't submit, and will react with anger or further rebellion. For during this time, one may observe a believer engaging in activities once they previously considered repugnant. On doctrine, they would have never, not even thought about becoming involved in, you know, cult activity. Get out of doctrine, they're completely in it. 1 Samuel 28. That's Saul with the spirit medium. You can read that on your own. It just gives the account of it. And obviously, beforehand, when he was thinking sensibly with doctrine, he wouldn't have done that. These people should have been put to death under his rule. He recognized that this medium existed under the law. She should have been put to death. And now he's there giving her money, looking for her services, you see. Five, those whom they previously considered off-limits as God's enemies now become the associates of the reversionists. You reject doctrine, you reject the divine discipline, you reject the counsel and advice of other population around you, you create a vacuum and need in these areas, and you will seek and find alternatives. And these alternatives, if they're not the positive adjusted type, what are they? Some lukewarm, mealy-mouthed fundy. Genesis 13, 12 and 13. Such as Lot, as an example, noting the type of environment he was willing to embrace in order to feed his own monetary grid. So Lot chose for himself all the valley of the Jordan. He and Abraham was supposed to separate from him. In fact, Abraham was supposed to separate from his father, his family, immediate family, when he left Ur of the Chaldees. Immediately. But that was a weakness in Abraham's life. And he let his dad and his nephew Lot hang on. But God brought around where separation became mandatory. And in fact, there was no rest between Abraham and Lot and their families. And so Abraham says, look, you're going to have to go your way. I'm going mine. Finally, he gets his act together. And he gives Lot the advantage of choosing for himself where he wants to settle down. And that is the Valley of Jordan, known today by the Valley of the Dead Sea there, that area. And Lot journeyed eastward. Thus they separated from each other, finally. Abraham settled on the land of Canaan, while Lot settled in the cities of the valley and moved his tents as far as Sodom. They'll make you rich in life, their promises, Help you climb the corporate ladder, all these other things. It's amazing how God will prosper evil people and the types of perversions that they have in order to try to entice others who would not normally maybe engage in these things to become part and party of their sins. So, other scripture tells us that Lot, being around the Sodomites, it constantly was vibrating his righteousness. He saw how evil and perverse it was. But still, he endured, he put up with it just so he could have the money. Alright, well, I'm going to let us out here a little early. Still snowing last time I checked. Give you a little leeway going home. I'm out of shape anyway. Tired. So we'll pick up here Tuesday night if the weather's willing. Permitting, God's permitting. If your name's on the snow list, make sure that somebody's got your number so you don't end up driving up here and we don't have class. We try to call everyone when we have a class cancellation. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, continue to light us to these things in Jesus' name. Amen.